ladies and gentlemen. Today we have the visit of the President of America, President Bush, whose goal is to improve the friendship and cooperation between our two countries. And especially in our bilateral meetings earlier, we discussed a number of issues to strengthen and to improve the cooperation between our two countries and two peoples. In our bilateral meetings, we began with expressions of thanks and appreciation toward the support and the cooperation from the United States to Indonesia in areas of economic support, trade, education and health, technology, military assistance and others. We are also grateful toward the assistance from America and other countries at the time of Aceh Nias, when Aceh Nias experienced the disaster and when we had the earthquake in Central Java. This shows the cooperation occurred very smoothly, and we hope that this will increase in the future. After that, we discussed in more detail how to improve the cooperation between America and Indonesia, first in the area of health, and especially in addressing avian flu and cooperation in facing a number of communicable diseases in tropical countries, especially in Indonesia. In the area of education, we have very good cooperation, and we agreed to continue this cooperation, and America will continue to give assistance to improve education in Indonesia, and this is a very important aspect of our national agenda. Energy. In the future, we hope to improve our cooperation in the development of bioenergy or biofuels and alternative energy sources. And in this regard, America is prepared to share their experience in technology and other areas that have to deal with developing these energy sources. And the last thing we discussed was cooperation in managing natural disasters. In the future, we hope to work together in developing an early warning system for tsunamis, and this will be implemented, and we're very grateful to this this cooperation from America and to other countries that are helping Indonesia to develop this early warning system for tsunamis in the future. In our bilateral meeting, we also exchange views on global issues in Asia as well as in the Middle East. For example, the situation in Korea and in Iraq and in Palestine. And we were, of course, we agreed that we need to find the right solution to these conflicts. Following our bilateral meeting, President Bush and I met with a number of civic leaders and experts who discussed a number of areas of cooperation in improving the quality of life of our people, our partnership with America, and in our discussions that were quite open and frank and constructive and critical. And it was very helpful for us to listen to those views together to improve the kind of cooperation we anticipate in the future so that can really affect the quality of life of the Indonesian people for the purpose of development. What I can share, I give the chance to President Bush to express his views.
Thanks for the invitation to come back to your beautiful country. Laura and I are thrilled to be here, and we're looking forward to our dinner tonight with you and your wife and your delegation. You lead a large and diverse nation with a very bright future. During my visit here, we're going to continue to work to build a relationship between our two nations that will last beyond the immediate, a relationship that should last for decades to come. It's important to our nation that we have good, strong relations with Indonesia. We've just come from the APEC summit in Vietnam, and the people of Indonesia should know that when their elected leader speaks, other leaders listen, as do I. Mr. President, you're well respected in the international community, and I appreciate your perspective on global and international issues, and thank you for sharing them with me again today. This afternoon, we also discussed bilateral initiatives that will expand opportunity for the people of Indonesia and at the same time deepen our partnership. We support your country's reform efforts, Mr. President. I thank you for your leadership on that important issue. The Indonesian president understands that economic reform and fighting corruption and investing in people will help this important nation succeed. We are committed to helping you on all these initiatives. Last week, we signed a $55 million Millennium Challenge Account Threshold Agreement. This agreement means that the American people will support Indonesia's efforts to reform its democratic institutions and strengthen governance. We would not have made this commitment, Mr. President, if you were yourself not committed to reform. The agreement's going to help fund your strategy to immunize your children against deadly diseases. We support your attempts to modernize your education system. We have pledged and provided over $150 million to the Indonesian government to help provide the tools that will give the next generation of Indonesians the chance to realize their enormous potential. 1,000 schools spread across 8 provinces in Indonesia are now benefiting from our education partnership. And as I told you in our meeting, we will continue to help. Our two nations continue to build strong trade and investment relationships. We're determined to grow our economies in a way that are that are sustainable. Last week, we signed an agreement to help Indonesia conserve its forests. Together, our nations will fight illegal logging while promoting trade in forest products that does not threaten the region's environmental quality. Our two nations recognize we must explore alternatives to fossil fuels. The President and I have spent quite a bit of time talking about this important issue. People of Indonesia have got to know that for national security purposes and for economic security purposes, America must spend research money to enable us to have alternative sources of energy from oil. I told the President that I am committed to sharing technologies as they become developed to help us all become less dependent on oil, and I appreciate your commitment, sir, to biofuels as an alternative source of energy. We talked about avian influenza. In this world of ours today, if there's an influenza outbreak in Vietnam, it could affect Indonesia or the people of America, and therefore we need to work in a collaborative way to deal with this grave threat. We'll continue to fund our partnership on this issue, Mr. President, as well as our partnership to protect public health in Indonesia. We support Indonesia's growing global role. Indonesia will soon take a seat on the United Nations Security Council. We discuss threats to global security and how together our two nations can help provide a peaceful way forward. We discussed North Korea and we discussed Iran. Both regimes have nuclear ambitions. Nuclear weapons in the hands of these regimes would make the people of the Middle East and Northeast Asia less secure. President, I discussed how the International Atomic Energy Agency and the six-party talks provide the best opportunity to seek peaceful diplomatic solutions to our concerns about these weapons programs. The United Nations requires reform to become a more effective institution, and I know that Indonesia will be a strong voice for positive change in the United Nations, and we look forward to having you on the Security Council. American people and the Indonesian people have both suffered from the acts of violent extremists. Our nations are determined to take effective action against terror networks that plot new attacks against innocent people. Indonesia is an example of how democracy and modernization can provide an alternative to extremism. And we appreciate your leadership, Mr. President. Your democracy is making Indonesia strong and better able to play a positive role in Southeast Asia and the world. Our talks today have been very constructive. I appreciate your hospitality. And I presume we'll take some questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Saya persilahkan kalau ada pertanyaan.
I have the opportunity for questions from people from Indonesia or from the press from America.
Microphone. Thank you. My name is Ichana. I'm from TV7 Indonesia. I would like to ask you, as you mentioned before, that Indonesia now is going towards democratization, and how do you think the process of the democratization in Indonesia is, the progress of democratization is going on? And I have a second question.
How many you get to ask here in Indonesia?
Excuse me?
How many questions you get to ask? Keep firing away. You're setting a bad example for the American press corps.
Sorry. Well, lots of Indonesians think that you have a hidden agenda going here, such as securing your Exxon deal in Natuna. And what is your comment on that? Thank you.
Well, we didn't discuss it.
You didn't?
No, we did not discuss it. You asked about Indonesian democracy. Here's living proof right here. He ran a campaign. He said, vote for me, I will do the following things. He's following through on his promises. The elections were open, the elections were clean, the elections were fair, and you elected a good president who is working hard to, in a tough job. And I don't think the American people understand how big Indonesia is. 17,000 islands, 6,000 of them inhabited, with a variety of demographics. The President kindly hosted a meeting today with civil society leaders, which points up to the diversity of this great nation. Different religions, different backgrounds, different people, all united under a democracy. And so I would say your progress is very good. But we all have work to do in our respective democracies. You know, our transition to democracy wasn't all that smooth in America. If you study American history, we had some rough go for a while. And it's hard work to make sure the institutions are sound so that people can live in a free society that's based upon the rule of law. But the President's committed to it, and he's working hard to it, and I would say you're making good progress.
Terry Young,
go ahead and yell it.
Terry.
Oops, don't yell it.
Mr. President, you've talked about the dangers of leaving Iraq too soon, but you haven't talked about what risks might be involved in adding tens of thousands of troops to secure Baghdad, as Senator McCain has suggested. What are the downsides, if any, to that approach? And I'd like to ask the President of Indonesia, what suggestions did you make to President Bush about his Iraq policy?
Terry, we haven't made up, I haven't made any decisions about troop increases or troop decreases, and won't until I hear from a variety of sources, including our own United States military. As you know, General Pace, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is in the process of evaluating a lot of suggestions from the field and from people involved with the Central Command as well as at the Pentagon. And they will be bringing forth these suggestions and recommendations to me here as quickly as possible. So there's no need to comment on something that may not happen. But if it were to happen, I will tell you the upsides and downsides.
My view on how could we work together in ending conflict in Iraq or in finding a proper and realistic solution for Iraq is that global community must be also responsible in solving the problems in Iraq. Talking about long-term state building, nation building in Iraq, I think it's not only the responsibility, the missions of the United States and other countries who are now involved in Iraq, but of course is the roles and responsibilities of other nations as well, other communities as well. Indonesia believe very strongly if we could work together, if we share and exchange our ideas, then there must be a proper and realistic solution in the long term in finding again a proper solution for Aceh. Good for Iraq, good for neighboring countries, good for the U.S., good for Indonesia, and good for whole communities in the world.
Rini from TVRI.
My name is Rini from TVRI, Government Television. I would like to ask Mr. President Bush. President Bush, investment and trade relation between the United States and Indonesia is strong. In energy sector, the United States is a long-standing partner of Indonesia. As you probably know, Indonesia is currently developing alternative energy, mainly biofuel. Are you willing to cooperate in this area? And can the United States share its technology to succeed Indonesia's effort is developing biofuel? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm very supportive of biofuel initiatives, starting in our own country. It's important for us to develop alternative ways to power our vehicles if we want to become less dependent on oil. And so, for example, we're now consuming about 5 billion gallons of ethanol, which is a fuel made, in our case, from corn. The President and I spent a fair amount of time talking about the ability to develop biofuels, particularly in Indonesia's case, from sugar cane as well as palm oil. And the technologies are available to convert sugar into ethanol. For example, the country of Brazil powers its automobiles with about 85% of all fuels from ethanol, from sugar cane. The other interesting fact for people to understand is that the technology to have a gasoline-driven automobile be powered by ethanol is very simple. They're called flex-fuel automobiles. And so we're on the beginning stages of really a change in how we consume energy, and it's in the world's interest that we promote biofuels. Where the United States needs to go, though, is that we can't rely upon corn only to develop our ethanols, and so we're spending a lot of money on cellulosic research, and that is the ability to convert wood chips, for example, to ethanol. And as those technologies become feasible and economic, we will share them with other countries. It's in our interest, it's in the U.S. interest, that others use biofuel as well as our own. And so I'm optimistic about the technologies that are developing. I'm also realistic to understand it's going to take a while to get them, to bring them to make them economics. But we're spending a lot of money on this type of research. And the president needs to know that as it becomes commercially capable, we'll share it.
Matt.
Microphone, please. President Bush, here in the world's most populous Muslim nation, thousands have demonstrated for days saying that your policy in the Middle East, in Iraq, and elsewhere is anti-Islamic. Mm. How do you fight that impression, and doesn't it require more than just a reassertion of your existing foreign policy goals? And for President Yudhoyono, did you, in your talks with President Bush, urge him to begin a withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq as soon as possible?
I mean, I'd be glad to answer it for him. No, he didn't, but he can answer it for himself. Look, I applaud a society where people are free to come and express their opinion. And it's to Indonesia's credit that it's a society where people are able to protest and say what they think. And it's not the first time, by the way, where people have showed up and expressed their opinion about my policies. But that's what happens when you make hard decisions. My answer to people about whether or not, how do you comfort people of the Muslim faith that our policies are, open, is that I believe freedom is universal and democracy is universal. I don't believe it's the sole right of the United States or the sole right of Methodists. I believe in the universality of freedom. And therefore, and I believe people desire to live in free societies. And I believe the vast majority of people want to live in moderation and not have extremists kill innocent people. And so therefore, our policies are to promote that kind of form of government. It's not going to look like America. It's going to be different from America. And I also would tell people that democracies yield peace. Democracies don't fight each other. One of the reasons why I am proud to call this president friend is because he understands the power of democracy, and he understands it's a universal right. And so therefore to say, spreading democracy is anti-religious, it's the opposite of that. Democracy means you can worship any way you choose, freely. And so, people protest, that's a good sign. It's a good sign of a healthy society.
Well, to elaborate my first view on Iraq, I would like to say that probably we have to think about developing a triple-track solutions. One is really important is having national reconciliation in Iraq together with the empowerment of the existing national government is very important, so Iraq can handle her own problem. Second is, of course, we have to involve other parties. We have to probably deploy and employ new setup of security forces in parallel with someday, based on an appropriate timetable, the disengagement of U.S. military forces and other coalition forces from Iraq. And of course, the third track is also not to be neglected, is how the international community work together in conducting reconstruction and rehabilitation of Iraq after the conflict. So I think we have to combine all those three solutions before actually the United States can determine what the possible policies to be developed in the future related to the withdrawal or the disengagement of the U.S. forces from Iraq. I think I have explained my view on those three track of solution, and the future disengagement of U.S. forces from Iraq must be connected to other two that I have mentioned already.
Thank you. That is the end of our press conference. There will be a joint statement available in the back.
Thank you.